The Wisconsin Senate Elections Committee held a hearing on a bill that would bring Final Five nonpartisan primaries and ranked choice voting to Wisconsin's congressional elections. The current electoral system, the one we vote with right now, you got the partisan primaries, and then whichever candidate wins the plurality of votes gets elected in the general elections. Supporters of ranked choice voting say it gives voters more choice and could help reduce polarization. Opponents say the system can be confusing and difficult to count. Our next guest is a Senate sponsor of the bill that would make those changes to Wisconsin's congressional elections. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on ranked choice voting? Do you want to see that change, or should we stick with the way things are? What questions do you have for our guest? Are you from a state that has ranked choice voting? Just a couple so far. Love to hear about your experience with it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Jesse James is a Republican state senator from Wisconsin's 23rd Senate District. That includes parts of Eau Claire County. Senator James, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
This idea has been floated before. As I understand it, though, Senator James, this was the first time it got to a Senate hearing. First of all, how did that go?
Overall, I mean, I think the hearing went okay. There's obviously strong opposition to moving this legislation forward. So that is something that we will have to contend with as we try to navigate this forward and through the assembly as well for a hearing.
Before we get into some of the pro and con arguments, can you spell out the basics? I gave kind of the Cliff's Notes version here of the change you're looking for. Talk us through the pieces that you're hoping to change here.
So what this bill, Senate Bill 528, would seek to change the incentives for public officials. It would implement a final five voting system for Wisconsin's congressional delegation. Candidates would run in an open primary and not a partisan primary, and voters would pick one candidate, and the top five finishers would advance to the general election. And then up at that time, voters would have a choice to rank up to five candidates in order by their preference. As it progresses, the lowest tabulated vote getter would be eliminated, and their voters' single vote redistributed to the next candidate. That voter ranked as their second choice. And it would continue until there are two candidates remaining, and then the candidate that would get over the 50% or the majority would be declared the winner.
Now, people might hear that and say, you know, especially that second part, the ranked choice, maybe we've heard of it going on in other states, sounds a little complicated, and that's one of the arguments against it, complicated for the voter. Complicated for the county clerks who have to tabulate. How do you address those?
The systems can be, the tabulators could implement this process. Mm-hmm. Again, that would potentially, the opposition would say that, again, they would introduce potentially more fraud to our elections. However, if you have heard from Maine and Alaska, Nevada, I think is going through this, you don't hear any questions being brought forth or any issues through the media as far as their counts or anything being fraudulent with the system that they've implemented, which I find extremely interesting.
Now, let's talk about the benefits. What do you see as the payoff if we were to make this switch here in Wisconsin?
Well, first and foremost, I see it becoming more of a competitive race. And I like that part. You know, for example, when you have, Congressman Ron Kind was in his seat for a very long time, and it challenges the incumbency of an individual. In my opinion, it's about more opportunity, and you can bring element of competitiveness to where you may be intimidated or people are maybe too afraid to step out and try and campaign and seek voter turnout. But if I have, for example, my last race, it wasn't just about me reaching out to Republicans. I reached out to independent voters. I reached out to Democrat voters. And in this opportunity, I would ask for their second vote. So I think there's opportunity there to where you could have the potential of beating out a long time standing incumbent and bring victory to your campaign.
Talking to State Senator Jesse James, a Republican from Western Wisconsin, looking at a bipartisan bill discussed at a Senate elections hearing earlier this week. It would introduce ranked choice voting to Wisconsin's congressional elections after a nonpartisan wide open primary to determine the final five who ended up in that general ranked choice vote. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see this change made for Wisconsin's congressional elections? Maybe other elections as well? Do you have concerns about it? Points of confusion? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Jesse James is with us, Republican state senator from Wisconsin's 23rd district. We're talking about a bipartisan bill the Senate is considering that would implement ranked choice voting in Wisconsin's congressional elections. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions. Senator James, I've mentioned you have some bipartisan support on this. There's some opposition from your Republican colleagues, even talk of trying to get a constitutional amendment to not allow this in the future. I can imagine there might be conversations along the lines of, hey, our congressional delegation leaning pretty strongly Republican. Senator, why would we interfere with that? Senator James, how do you sell this to your Republican colleagues who might have some dim views of this idea?
Well, you know, I think about it back in the day when I was in middle school and we're voting for student council leadership. And if you think back to those times, most people would be, you know, if you're selected as the president and you were one that ran against the president but lost, what happens with you at that point? Usually, typically, then you would run for vice president. And I see the same type of situation here to where if it provide, it gives more opportunity for those that may not have the name recognition, but they're willing to go out and work and put the effort in to make it a more competitive race. And just taking the opportunity, like the first time going out and being introduced to the community and knocking the doors, which in my opinion, it's not money that wins elections. Money shows power, but to actually get out there and do the work and knocking the doors so that the people can meet you, that's what wins the elections in my opinion. And I think that's part of the narrative that we truly need to change here. And I think there are people out there that are willing to do that type of work, but they may not have the tenacity or the they live in fear too much of they're afraid of losing, or they just are too intimidated by the candidate. And I truly believe that this opens the door for more of an opportunity and for the people to see more of the candidate. Just like it's no different than you see at the national platform with the four primary candidates for the Republican race for president right now. Everybody's getting to know them. They're getting to see them. They're making their decisions. And, you know, everybody has their choice. And you actually hear the people ranking them like, well, I prefer this candidate over this candidate, but I may vote for this one. And I think that that's what this open. And now this does not apply to presidential races or anything. This just applies to our congressional district races regarding our House representatives and U.S. senators. So I think having a discussion is appropriate, and I'm not going to lie, I've been getting beat up pretty well, but I'm always one to have an open mind to look at things. And I think by being an author on this legislation, it shows the people that I do have an open mind. And, you know, I guess shame on me if it's something that I'm curious about and I want to learn more about it. I think the general public should also be willing to learn more about it, because there could be something good that could come out of it. There could be something bad that comes out of it. It's yet remain to be seen. And that from other states seem to show that, you know, in Alaska, for example, the 99.9% of the ranked choice vote ballots were correctly cast and counted. 65% of the voters ranked more than one candidate in statewide races, and 79% of the voters said it was simple to fill out their ballot. So that type of information piques my curiosity, saying, okay, is there something really to this? And let's just have the conversation. And I think that's where I'm just more open-minded in that regard, to where I know my colleagues are definitely not, they don't even want to have a discussion about it.
Bring on a caller. Jerry is with us in Waukesha. Jerry, hello.
Yeah, hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jerry?
Well, I'll start with what I told the young lady that answered the phone. We're not Alaska. It ain't a popularity contest. It's a case of can we do the job or can't we? And the people will decide that. We don't need two choices, three choices. We're not voting for president for the American Legion post. We're voting for a state office or a federal office in the case of senator. I don't understand how anybody with an R next to their name would even propose this.
Jerry, thanks a lot for the call. Not a lot of time, but Senator James, I'm on a lot of political mailing lists. You mentioned you're getting beat up. Some of the conservative lists, not wild about the idea or the fact that Republicans are sponsoring it. Your thoughts for Jerry?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the founding fathers of America, George Washington himself, made statements regarding our America and what it looks like moving forward. And he was extremely wary of political powers. And all of them, to a certain extent, did not see America being controlled by two political parties. And that's why we have become such a polarized nation with the two parties, put Republicans and Democrats, that and I'm part of the Republican Party, and I have no I will say that all day long. I am more of a moderate Republican, as people call me, and even beyond that, but that is part of the issue that I think exists in our world today, or in our nation, that we are truly reliant upon the Democrats and Republicans. And you see that every single election, to where third party candidates, Tea Party candidates, and independent candidates, they have no option, and they're not obviously favored. So either you're one or the other. And I'm sorry, but you know, in my district overall, with knowing my district, I would say it's probably 50-50. That's why it's a purple district, 30% Republican, 30% Democrat, but 40% independent voters. And I see more of that happening as we navigate through the future of our political system.
Senator James, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Senator Jesse James, Republican State Senator from Wisconsin's 23rd Senate District. That includes parts of Eau Claire County. And he talked to us about a bill that would change Wisconsin's voting system in congressional elections to final five primaries and ranked choice general elections. Just had a hearing in the Senate committee. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Dairy cows are the pride and joy of many farmers in Wisconsin, and the ways that farmers handle their cows can make a significant difference in their animals' welfare and milk production. But trying to move 1,500-pound cattle around a farm requires a lot of care, patience, and proper technique that comes from experience. A UW-Madison researcher created a new tool to help farmers simulate proper cow handling in a practice environment and apply those skills to the farm. Jennifer Van Oss is an assistant professor and extension specialist at animal welfare in the Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences at UW-Madison. She presented her interactive dairy cow video game, Moving Cows, at this year's World Dairy Expo in Madison. I talked to her earlier this fall. Talk us through Moving Cows. When a farm worker or whoever trains on it, what do they do?
So in this video game, we are trying to develop a proof of concept where people can learn or practice basic cow handling. So on a lot of dairy farms, cows spend time in what's called their home pen, where they can lie down, eat, and socialize. And then two or three times a day, they need to go to what's called a milking parlor, where the milk is collected. So cows don't spend the majority of their day there, but they need to move back and forth in order to be milked. And so people have to guide them there. And so in our game, people take on the role of a person working on a dairy farm, and they need to move cows within the parlor and to and from the milking parlor. And right now we're focusing really just on these basic principles for people to practice these basic concepts, but we envision that we could include more complex scenarios in the future.
Now, anyone who's never interacted with a cow might think, well, isn't that kind of easy? You lead the cow there, you lead the cow back. Tell us about the things that can go wrong in that interaction.
Exactly. I think that's a great point, because if people haven't interacted with cows, they might not realize that cows see the world differently than human beings do. So they have a different sense of vision, sound, and smell, and a different way of experiencing the world. So it's important to understand cows' senses and cow behavior to be able to move them effectively and appropriately, so we can take advantage of their natural behavior to get them to move without causing stress.
All right, let's step away from the game a little bit now. What is the impact if we mismanage cows? What kind of things could go wrong for the farmer or farm worker and the cow itself?
So in the context of moving or handling cows, it's really important to be aware of the cow's natural behavior, because they are a prey species. So in a more naturalistic setting, cows are looking out for threats such as predators, and they can potentially see people that way. So if you aren't careful or aware of a cow's senses or of her behavior, then A, you could get injured. Cows are very large and very strong, and they could accidentally hurt you by knocking you over or other interactions like that. But also the cow herself could get injured. So if she panics because she's experiencing a fight or flight response, she could slip and fall. And even if she doesn't get injured, when a cow's stress levels increase, first of all, that reduces her welfare. But second of all, it can reduce milk production. So proper interactions or handling of cows is very important for many reasons.
I know there are different training tools out there. What made you want to tackle this in video game format?
So I started here at UW-Madison about 5.5 years ago. And if you had told me at that time that I would become a video game creator, I definitely would not have believed you. I'm not much of a video game player myself. But when I started, because I have an applied research and extension education role with UW-Madison, it was really important for me to understand the needs of Wisconsin dairy farmers and the dairy industry. So I met a number of different Wisconsin dairy farmers, and I introduced myself and I asked them, what are the challenges on your farm around animal care and animal welfare? And this was one of the topics that rose to the top. So even though there are already a lot of resources available, many of them very nicely produced or even free, there seemed to be a need for better education or better ways to practice cow handling. And so over time, I came up with the idea that maybe we could apply a flight simulator concept, like what they use in aviation, to livestock handling.
Before you started to get code generated here, I understand you did a lot of talking to people, English and Spanish speakers around Wisconsin. Can you talk about the process of gathering the information you needed to make this video game a reality?
Yeah, so to me, this was really the Wisconsin idea in action. So once we got the idea that we wanted to create Moving Cows, we started to put together our learning objectives. What did we want people to take away from the game? What did we want them to get out of it? What was really important to include in this initial version of the game? And we contracted with a local company here in downtown Madison called Filament Games, and they specialize in programming educational video games, although they had never done a cow game like this before. And so they created a draft or a prototype game for us. And we took this out and did focus groups. And I should say, I was not there. I introduced myself. I talked about my role at the university. And then I left so that people could speak freely, because we wanted them to be brutally honest so that we could make the game the best it could be and as relevant as possible to people who work with dairy cows on a daily basis. So we went to Wisconsin dairy farms and had people who work in these cow handling roles play the draft of the game. And then we had these focus groups where they gave feedback and ideas about how to make it better, how to make it more relevant. We also had people come to campus. So this was dairy farm owners, bilingual consultants and trainers and veterinarians, because we wanted a lot of perspectives on how we could make this useful and relevant.
Talking to Jennifer Van Oss, assistant professor and extension specialist in animal welfare in the Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences at UW-Madison, talking about the interactive dairy cow video game Moving Cows. She presented this at the World Dairy Expo. Jennifer, it's been a process. There's basically an alpha, or I don't know if you're in a beta version now. Where is Moving Cows in development? How close is it ready to be released into the wild?
Yeah, so actually we have version one of the complete game, and we took that out for another round of testing this past spring, and we learned a lot because we could collect data on how long it takes people to complete the full game or each of the 8 levels. We were able to ask them questions about how much they enjoyed it, how challenging they thought the game was, and also collect more qualitative feedback on how to make it better and more relevant. And so we're now incorporating that feedback into version 2 of the game. And we want the game to take a little bit less time for the average person. But we're also very excited because we're optimizing it to work on both Android and Apple devices. And the game will be released to the public in both the Apple and Android app stores by early next year.
For somebody actually working on a farm, or maybe that new dairy farm worker, can they actually get some kind of certification by completing all the levels?
Absolutely. And that's something we really think is important with this game, is that it can fulfill an expectation throughout the U.S. dairy industry. So there is a national program called FARM, F-A-R-M, which stands for Farmers Assuring Responsible Management. And they have an animal care initiative. And actually 99% of dairy farms in the U.S. participate in this program through their milk cooperative or their milk processors. So to sell milk, they have to meet the program's expectations. And one of those expectations is that everybody who works directly with cows, whether they're a new hire or a family member who grew up on the farm, has to show that every single year they have a refresher or continuing education about cow handling. And so when people complete all 8 levels of Moving Cows, they earn a certificate of completion that can show that they've had this continuing education.
The obvious target market here is people who work with cows on farms. Are there other communities or age groups or whatever that you hope could experience the game as well?
We think so. So our primary target audience is people who work on dairy farms, because we want them to have an interactive and hopefully effective way to show this continuing education. But we also think a lot of other types of learners could get something out of the game, whether they learn something or simply enjoy playing it. So over the summer, we began testing the game with fourth year veterinary students here at UW-Madison doing a dairy skills rotation. And we also recently tested it with first year UW-Madison undergraduates in an introductory animal science lab. And we also worked with a couple 4-H groups over the summer with kids of various ages. And so we think anybody of any age could potentially enjoy playing with this and learn something about dairy farming.
As we know, Jennifer, many farm workers in Wisconsin are primary language Spanish speakers. And I mentioned you reached out to English and Spanish speakers along the way. The final product, is it available in both languages, English and Spanish?
Yes, and that was something that was very important to us from the start. So we know that there are also other languages spoken on Wisconsin dairy farms, but English and Spanish are the most common. And we know there has been this demographic shift throughout the Wisconsin and the wider U.S. dairy industry. So we want tools that are created in the languages that people prefer right from the get-go instead of as an afterthought. So this was a highly collaborative, interdisciplinary project with a number of people throughout UW-Madison. But one of the most important collaborators was Dr. Dominic Ledesma, who heads up the language access group for UW-Madison Extension. So we worked very closely with him to make sure that this game really resonated in Spanish as well as in English.
I know moving cows has been your focus, but have you been mulling a sequel, some other farm-related skill that you think might work for a future video game format?
I think that this shows a lot of potential for helping people practice other types of things on the farm. So through these focus groups where we collected feedback about the game, we got some ideas about other scenarios within dairy farms where this game could potentially be useful. So not just routine cow movement to and from milking, but also trickier situations that are still common that people need to practice. But we also think it could be useful in other livestock sectors. So maybe in the future, there could be moving sheep or moving swine. So I think there's a lot of potential and we're excited to see where it goes.
Jennifer, we'll leave it there. Thanks for sharing this with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Jennifer Van Oss, an assistant professor and extension specialist in animal welfare in the Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences at UW-Madison. I talked to her about her new dairy cow handling game called Moving Cows. She presented that at the World Dairy Expo in Madison earlier this year.